Hey, good afternoon, and thanks for joining us here on Politics in the Pulpit, here on your hometown station, 98.1 FM and AM 1220, the place where we view the world through the lens of the world. I wanted to start off with some local stuff here, especially if you are listening in Santa Clarita, which I'm assuming you would be. It has been a cold couple of days here in Southern California. Now, for those of you who are from out of state or have moved here from other places like Idaho and Minnesota and Wyoming, obviously 25 degrees in Acton is not a big deal for you. You probably think I'm whining, but man, it was cold this morning. Went out there and tried to get the water running for my horse, and no water came out. So I had to wait until the sun got on the west side of our property and started to warm up the pipes before we can even give water to the horse this morning. But it was definitely cold. It's not uncommon for Acton in particular to get into the 20s, but usually, you know, 28, 29, 30 degrees or something like that. They were predicting a little bit of snowfall last night. That did not materialize where I live, but I understand as low as Gorman, right off of Interstate 5, as you're traveling up the Grapevine, got some snow. In fact, they got heavy snow, Fraser Park, and several other places that are relatively low-lying. I think the snow level is supposed to get down to 2,000 feet. But that's enough of your Dallas rains moment. Just know that it was cold last night, and it's supposed to get even colder tonight. So you guys bundle up and stay warm. Again, must be global warming by way of global cooling. You never know. But no matter what, no matter how you cut it, it's cold. Now, if you were listening last week, I teased at the very end of last week's show that we would be joined in studio today by a rep from the SCV Pregnancy Center right here in our city. After a couple of back-and-forth phone calls from the Pregnancy Center, unfortunately, I'm here to say that they declined to come on the show, stating that, quote, times are just not what they should be, which I'm assuming is a reference to the political climate today surrounding pro-life pregnancy centers. And by the way, let me just, for the sake of clarity and transparency, I know the people that put this pregnancy center together and started it. They're good people. They're wonderful folks. But just to be frank, I am a bit disappointed that somebody would not come on, but I've tried and I've been briefed that it might be better that they don't. And many of you know, especially since the Roe v. Wade and Dodd decision from earlier last year in 2022, things have not been good when it comes to some of the pregnancy centers, as they have been, places have been, burned and they've been graffitied up and things of that nature. So there's no doubt that that is a problem. There's no doubt. But I am disappointed, just to be frank, that nobody came on. So in short, I'm sorry to inform you that there will be no rep from the SCV Pregnancy Center on today's show, or perhaps, unfortunately, any future shows. So that is sad indeed. In terms of this, some stories about Hollyweird, I was just telling our board operator here, who did not know who this person was, but Raquel Welch passed away today. She was 82 years old, and there was an undisclosed sickness. They were very, very hush-hush about what she died of. But nevertheless, Raquel Welch became known in the mid-1960s for her role in 1 Million Years B.C., a very iconic poster of her. Most people remember it. It has been basically the visual that everyone has of her for the last 60 years or so. But again, sad news there in Hollyweird. Raquel Welch passes away. How many of you heard about the woman who apparently ran over her catalytic converter thief up in Palmdale? Anybody hear about that? I'm going to just give you the story here from Fox. It says, a man accused of trying to steal a catalytic converter in Palmdale was killed Tuesday, this is yesterday, when he was run over by the woman whose vehicle he was trying to steal from, according to authorities. It happened just before 6 p.m. in a store parking lot located on the 39,000 block of 10th Street West. Now, if you're familiar with the Palmdale area, that is right there off of Rancho Vista, and usually it's right there between Rancho Vista and Palmdale Boulevard. And there's been all kinds of weird things that have happened up there, especially at that Kohl's parking lot in just the last several months. I think two people were killed right there in that Kohl's parking lot. But this is not far from that initial area. But officials said the woman was asleep inside her Ford Excursion, so this woman was unfortunately homeless, when a car with four people inside pulled up next to it. That's when one of the grand theft suspects got out of the car and began sawing off the catalytic converter off the Excursion. Now, the problem is this. The woman inside the Excursion, who was sleeping, was apparently woken up by the noise. Obviously, that's going to be some interesting noise underneath your vehicle. And that's when she turned on her car, put it in reverse, and felt a bump like she ran something over, authorities said. The woman immediately stopped the car after running the alleged thief over and called 911. He was taken to a local hospital where, unfortunately, he died. Now, two things about this. Number one, I do think this homeless lady did do us a favor. We have one less catalytic converter thief on the roads here in California, because obviously that has been almost an epidemic in the last several months, really the last couple of years, because of some of the things that they are able to recycle and get money off of the catalytic converters. I'm assuming certain cars are worth more via the catalytic converter than others. In fact, I'll give you a story about ourselves. At our church, just before we put in any kind of actually, it was right after we put in security cameras at our church, about a week or two after those cameras were put to the test, because during an actual morning worship service, somebody pulled up next to one of the cars of one of our parishioners and jacked a catalytic converter from the church parking lot within, I think, 3 minutes. In fact, it might have been faster than that. These guys were professionals. And this was done with a $2,000 system in our church that we had just put in 2 weeks earlier, and yet the guy that is sitting in the sound room did not catch this incident. This just shows you how good they are, how insidious they are, and how well trained these guys are. So this woman has done us a favor in many ways by taking one out. I guess the real question I have in closing about this particular topic is, because Palmdale, Lancaster, that area is still LA County, that falls under the jurisdiction of George Gascon. I'm wondering if there are going to be any charges filed against this homeless woman at all. I hope not. I pray not. This woman, in many ways, was a victim. This was her only means of being able to sleep in an enclosed environment, being that she was homeless. And I'm just kind of hoping that our esteemed DA here in Los Angeles County will not seek to file any kind of suit against her. So keep that in mind as we keep going over the next few days here. Who knows what's going to happen, how this develops, and I sure hope that this woman does not get charged for anything by our feckless DA here in Los Angeles County. All right. Well, if you've been alive the last couple of weeks, you've probably heard and seen the stories about the, quote, balloons that have been floating around the United States, and one over in Canada that was shot down as well. For the last 2 weeks, the administration has been shooting down what we are being told are Chinese weather balloons, at least initially, that's what we were told. And that, of course, is what the Chinese Communist Party has been trying to tell us. However, I just want you to think about this. The last three that were shot down, we've noticed a shroud of secrecy in regards to just what was shot down. Aliens, perhaps, UFOs. This has fueled a lot of speculation about UFOs. And, of course, UFOs just means unidentified flying object. It doesn't necessarily mean something came from Mars or, you know, little green men. But the fact is, without the administration saying anything, I mean, literally, mum's the word, about just about all of these things that were shot down, all it does is cause angst and anxiety within the public, and it causes conspiracy theories to proliferate. And really, I think the administration needs to come out and say something, and not just the administration's lower lackeys that go out and kind of contradict one another, especially the White House press secretary. But I think we need the president himself to come out and just say a couple of things. He doesn't have to be like major specific, but I think it would be good to at least allay the fears of the public of what exactly is going on. Do we have China sending over these balloons on purpose in order to surveil and gather intel and information? We don't know, but here is what here's a thought that was brought to my attention last Sunday evening by a personal friend of mine. And I want you to think about this. Why was the picture of the first balloon back in early February, why was the picture of the first balloon allowed to be seen, not just seen, but allowed to traverse the entire continental United States? And furthermore, why was the administration hesitant to shoot down the initial balloon, but more than willing to shoot down the latter three? I mean, those are questions that I think we all need to consider. Obviously, somebody in Montana, shot this picture or video of the balloon when it was over Montana, and that went viral. And the individual that brought this to my attention a couple days ago said that the administration, the government, they kind of allow things to either go viral or not go viral for that matter. And so this balloon photo went viral. And now, for the last three or so, we've not seen any pictures, and we don't even know, once these things were shot down, when and if they're ever going to be recovered. Because according to the spokesmen's who have come out to talk about these downed objects, they are in remote areas that will take days and even weeks in order to get to because of snow and the terrain and what have you. So again, I just don't know why that first balloon was allowed to be seen and played out as long as it did with the hesitancy of the administration to shoot it down until finally it was off the coast of South Carolina over the Atlantic. Because if you remember a couple of weeks ago, the administration told us that they actually monitored the balloon coming from China and then traversing all across the Pacific Ocean, up into the Aleutian Islands, through Alaska, and then, of course, down into the continental U.S. Why didn't they shoot it down while it was over the Pacific? There's a lot of water out there. Why not shoot it before it even got, to the Aleutian Islands? The argument that the administration was giving us was, well, we don't want to shoot down this object because it could potentially cause harm, when it landed, which is partially true. But according to what I have read and what I've heard, when an item like that, like a balloon, excuse me, is shot down, you don't have a debris field like you would have for a downed aircraft, right? A balloon, when it is shot, goes straight down. So essentially, what they can do is ascertain about the size of a football field where that balloon is going to ultimately land and where that debris field is going to be. So again, I ask the question, why was the picture of the first balloon allowed to be seen? And why were we part of this week-long saga of watching this thing float from Montana all the way over to the eastern part of the United States? And why was the administration so hesitant to shoot it down even over Pacific waters? And yet the administration has been more than willing to shoot down the latter three. And again, just to reinforce this notion, why hasn't the president, the commander of the free world, addressed a very anxious and concerned nation? Or, perhaps, maybe that's part of the plan. You say, what do you mean, Pastor Cook? Well, to keep you and I anxious, concerning, and looking up. To keep you and I anxious, concerned, and looking up. All the while forgetting about classified documents, laptops, and other Biden issues that are currently plaguing the administration. What a, quote, trial balloon, if you will. I'd invite you to check out a webpage entitled Tory Says, T-O-R-E SAYS.com. TorySays.com. I don't know much about this particular site. It was just brought to my attention a few days ago. But on that site, there is a story that states, quote, strewn stories about spy balloons do not add up. I have here in my formerly nicotine-stained fingers a portion of that story, and it says, American-made spy balloon identifying as Chinese. How many of you knew, and I'm sure some of you did, that when they were getting the debris that fell off the coast of South Carolina, that much of the material of this particular balloon was actually made in the United States. I mean, made in the U.S. Isn't that ironic that we always say things are made in China, but yet something that was brought over from China was made in the U.S.? That's interesting. How about this? How about the fact that North Dakota is indicative of having most of its political leaders funded by China, causing serious concerns about their foreign policy due to the fact that it shares a border with a foreign nation, a.k.a. Canada, which, of course, one of these contraptions, these unidentified flying objects, flew over Canadian airspace a few days ago as well. In 2016, a military training academy was discovered 10 to 12 miles from the border in Canada by North Dakota. Additionally, purchases made by the Communist Party of China in North Dakota are done through venture firms, and it is speculated that the CCP may own half of Fargo due to a loan it funded for Governor Doug Burgum to purchase literally half of the city of Fargo. Now, all of you should probably go watch that movie now. It's been about 25 years. There's also speculation about a North Dakota reporter being a double agent for the CCP, as he worked for both Tennant and Brennan working APAC, but that is a story for another day, obviously. But the fact is, there's a lot of interesting conspiracies, perhaps theories, as to what is going on with these particular balloons and exactly what are they doing up in the sky. And again, I'm not here to necessarily say that this is all happening the way TorySays.com. These are theories. These are hypotheticals and perhaps maybe some unique insights here that you will have to read, you'll have to digest it, and you'll have to come to your own conclusions on these things. How many of you ever seen a Google balloon? Those are the balloons that are put up that gather intel and information as well. They look awfully, if you Google it, by the way, if you Google a Google balloon, it looks awfully similar to the balloon that was caught on film over Montana a couple weeks ago. It just looks awfully familiar. I'm not terribly certain if it's, you know, the size of three buses, as they said that initial balloon was, but they're awfully familiar. And again, I don't know, and I know that a lot of those Google balloons fly around the same elevation as this particular balloon that was shot down 2 weeks ago does as well. I think somewhere between 45,000 feet and 65,000 feet, which, you know, 65,000 is not what modern aircrafts will, you know, regular airplanes will fly. They're usually anywhere between 30,000 and 45,000 feet, but it still would pose a problem. What about the fact that this Chinese balloon supposedly was U.S. made? So there's all kinds of speculations as to what is going on. And again, I believe that the administration needs to come out and President Biden needs to say something about this to at least quell all of the weird conspiracies and some of the anxiety that some within our community are feeling across the United States of America. When we come back here on Politics in the Pulpit, we're going to talk about this. What in the world is going on in Palestine, Ohio? Yep, some interesting stuff there, and Pete Buttigieg has nothing to say about it. We'll catch you back here on the other side of the break on Politics in the Pulpit on your hometown station. All right, we're back here live with Politics in the Pulpit on your hometown station, AM 1220 and 98.1 FM, here on your hometown station. This is Pastor Jerry Cook with Politics in the Pulpit. We teased a little bit about what's going on in Palestine or Palestine, Ohio. I don't, depends on who you are listening to, depends on the pronunciation of that, but I'll just say Palestine, Ohio. Some of you might have heard that there appears that there's a disaster there that was caused by the derailment of a train carrying toxic chemicals. If you've seen any of the pictures of the controlled burn, there is a huge plume, a mushroom cloud, in effect, that occurred, thus sending all kinds of horrible and dangerous toxins into the air there upon the residents of this little Ohio village. And again, it was about 50 cars, including 10 carrying hazardous materials, derailed in a fiery crash in East Palestine at about 9 p.m. on Friday, February 3rd. So this is almost 2 weeks ago. Houses were evacuated after vinyl chloride was slowly released from five of those cars. Authorities then ignited the gases for a, quote, controlled release of the highly flammable toxic chemicals in a controlled environment, creating a dark plume of smoke. Can somebody explain to me... Explain to me how one can do a controlled release of highly flammable toxic chemicals in a controlled environment. What does that look like? Did they do this under a bubble of some sort? Because from the pictures, it seems like the entire town of this entire Ohio village of Palestine was engulfed with this toxic smoke. Officials warned the controlled burn would send phosgene and hydrogen chloride into the air. Phosgene is a highly toxic, colorless gas with a strong odor that can cause vomiting and breathing trouble, and was used as a weapon in World War I. Oh, exciting. Despite the threat, safety officials insisted it is safe for residents who were evacuated to return to their homes just a few days later. That's interesting. They insisted that it was safe for residents, even though this highly toxic gas that was used as a weapon in World War I was being thrown into the air. Where are the environmentalists? Why aren't they screaming about this? This is a huge problem. Now, I'm not an environmentalist, but I am a conservationist, and I do believe in God giving us authority over the environment and the planet. I believe those things. The Bible talks about giving us dominion in the book of Genesis. So as Christians, we're not people that want to see, you know, all animal life dead and no fish in the ocean and no trout in the streams. No, I actually want to see all of those things in perpetuity. I hope you do too. And I'm also not one for just allowing a bunch of toxic chemicals that are highly flammable and they're toxic to people as they ingest them, to be ignited in a, quote, controlled release. And then despite the threat of this problem, the safety officials, yes, the oxymoron of that, the safety officials insisted it is safe for residents who were evacuated to return to their homes just days later. The other couple mornings ago, I was listening to I think the Morning Answer on AM 870, and a lady called in from around Palestine, Ohio, and she was saying that her chickens all died. Now, again, I'm not suggesting that this is just killing chickens. I'm just wondering if that's a representative of who knows how many other animals and potentially humans are going to die or get really sick because of these toxic fumes that were supposedly ignited for a controlled release. Now, I have a few questions. What is Pete Buttigieg doing about this? Pete Buttigieg was sworn in on February 3rd, 2021, as the 19th Secretary of Transportation. Now, usually during most presidential administrations, you and I don't hear much about the Secretary of Transportation. There are more thankful jobs rather than this thankless job, Department of Defense and White House spokesmen and things of that nature. There are faces to these individuals that we remember down through the years. But nobody really remembers too many, at least by name, too many Secretary of Transportations. But yet, Pete Buttigieg, who of course the claim to fame, is the first openly gay person confirmed to serve in a president's cabinet and was also served two terms as mayor of his hometown in South Bend, Indiana. Here he is, and all he is taxed to do is to make sure transportation is running smoothly on all fronts. trains, planes, automobiles, right? And highways and things of that nature. Remember his speech a few months ago about racist bridges and racist highways? So think about this. In the last 2 years, Pete Buttigieg, who is our Secretary of Transportation, has been plagued with some huge problems. How many remember the supply chain debacle of just a few months ago? Which, by the way, is still a problem. It hasn't gone away. The supply chain issue is still a problem. What about the baby formula issue, where baby formula was hard to come by at the store, especially for moms who do not breastfeed their babies and rely on that baby formula? What about last year at Christmas time? No one can remember, everyone can remember, the Christmas of 2022 and the air travel disaster and the cancellations and all the things that happened. Now, all of that got blamed on the weather, but there's always weather in December, folks. There's always been weather for centuries. I've got news for you. In the winter, it gets cold and it snows. That's just kind of the way it goes. I don't remember when it didn't do that. Even here in Southern California, it can get cold. But in Southern California, we might have a day or two in the winter that actually gets warm. And that's why we choose to live in Southern California, in spite of all the high gas prices and bad policies here in our state. The fact is, it gets cold here in California too, even in the winter. Guess what? In the spring, it kind of moderates a little bit. It's cold sometimes, it's warm sometimes. And then in the summer, newsflash, it gets hot, like really hot. And depending where you are, like a place called, quote, Death Valley, which, you know, might be indicative of what kind of weather you're going to get, it gets like really hot, like 120 degrees. It's amazing how sometimes in the summertime, you'll hear some breathless reporter say, it was 127 degrees today in Death Valley. Well, yeah, it's one of the lowest portions of the country in terms of elevation, and it has weather extremes because there are portions of Death Valley that get really, really, really cold in the winter. So it's one of those places on the globe that have major weather extremes. But yet, we have this travel disaster and cancellations galore where, I mean, thousands and thousands and thousands of people were displaced, couldn't get to their homes for Christmas. I had a family in our church that went to Minnesota to go see a baby that was just born, and they went up to Minnesota. Of course, they were right in the middle of all that weather that came in right just before Christmas, and they could not get back to Los Angeles until about a week and a half after Christmas. It was an amazing thing. It's funny how that stuff happens. What about this? Now we have this disaster, this environmental disaster in Palestine, Ohio, and really not much is being said by our Secretary of Transportation, Pete Buttigieg. In fact, the only things he has said publicly has been in tweets, nothing in front of the camera, and when this was brought to his attention the other day, all he could do was wax eloquent about how some construction sites are, not colorful enough, if you get my drift. You know, racism at all costs. That's the buzzword. Now, I've got a few things I want to say about this. Do you know that Palestine, Iowa, only has a population of 181 people as of the last census in 2020? I'm gonna just let you guess what color those people in Palestine, Ohio are. The 181. Yeah, they are white. So they must be expendable, right? Oh, I don't think that's fair to say, Pastor Cook. Well, if this train derailment with these highly flammable liquids derailed in downtown Chicago, or up in Michigan, Detroit in particular, or maybe even here in Los Angeles, I'll bet they would be all over this like flies on excrement. And there would be roundtable talks on CNN and MSNBC and the rest of them talking about how this could have happened and how this is affecting a disproportionate part of our ethnic communities. Now you say, oh, come on. Do you really think that's what they would do? Yeah, because that's their playbook. But again, not much is being said from our Secretary of Transportation in regards to this. Now, I want to mention another article that I read the other day that I think was very interesting. And for those of you parents out there that are concerned about social media, there was an article written by Dr. Akash Ahuja, A-H-U-G-A, A-H-U-G-A, Dr. Akash Ahuja. He's a psychologist who works up in the Antelope Valley, and he wrote an article entitled Social Media Poisoning Our Kids. I'd like to read just a few of this thing, because as a parent, I think we should all be concerned about this. And I think a lot of what Dr. Akash writes here in this editorial for The Signal will ring true with many of you parents out there. It says, quote, if there's one thing common in our city, and as a matter of fact, the entire USA, is that every parent wants their kid to be happy, healthy, and successful. Not trying to be super technical, but would like to mention that there is a chemical in our brain known as dopamine, which is released when we do activities that give us happiness. Our kids get their natural dopamine when they play outdoors with their friends, go hiking, spend quality time with family, learn new things, achieve academic success in school, etc. On the other hand, the same chemical, dopamine, gets released in extremely high amounts when kids get instant gratification on social media, like TikTok, Facebook, Snapchat, Instagram, YouTube, Pinterest, Spotify, Twitter, Discord, etc., where their whole focus of happiness is to get more likes. I have to confess to you, Pastor Cook, likes. Whenever kids get a like, they feel happy. When they don't or get a negative comment on their thread, which of course, I have to confess, I love negative comments because there's only one thing worse than being talked about, and that's not being talked about. This article goes on to say they feel anxious and sad. They will keep on checking if they got more likes or not. Very quickly, kids get entangled in this vicious virtual world where their happiness depends upon social media accolades only. Kids have a developing brain that gets enhanced and enriched when they learn and experience real-life situations, and spending time on social media does the opposite. Dr. Akash goes on to say this, and I think this is where the money shot is. Dr. Akash says, kids are losing the art of speaking well and being able to express themselves verbally. Their world is focused on virtual instant gratification, and we need to stop this. And he goes on to say that he had spoken about this particular issue in front of the William S. Hart Union High School District Board on February 1st and urged the board members to put on the agenda to discuss this critical topic, not only to make policies so that the use of social media can be significantly reduced, but also to educate kids about this problem. Now, you all know this is true. Even you adults out there, that seriously, if you drive away from your home, and you could be 5 miles from home, and you realize you don't have your cell phone, I bet 90% of you, if not a higher percentage, would probably turn around, even though you're 5 miles out and semi-late for something. You will turn around and go get that phone. I mean, it has become an addiction, and I'll even say that yours truly has done the same thing. I live in Acton. The church I pastor is 45 minutes away, give or take. I've driven as far as 3 or 4 miles from the house and realized I didn't have my phone, and I've turned around and I've gone back, even at the risk of being late. You say, why? Because we are attached to our cell phones and other social media as well. And the other thing that I think Dr. Akash makes a good point here is that kids are unable to communicate clearly. You know, when I was growing up, and of course I'm 46, I'll be 47 in just a couple of months, but when I was growing up, there was no cell phones, obviously, and there were no social media sites and what have you. And we basically just had to open a book in class, and we had to rely on brain power and whatever brain matter we had at the ages of 6 to 15 or 14, and we had to figure things out that way, or ask the teacher, or ask somebody else. One of the things that I did, which I think has helped with my speaking abilities, as well as being able to read well, is because I grew up in a private school. My parents blessed me with a private school education, and we had to read and write and memorize a Bible verse every week out of that old archaic King James Bible. You know, the these and the thous. And I really think that that type of English, which of course in 1611, that type of English was at its zenith. English has gotten worse since then, not better. And so I had to learn a verse, I had to write the verse, then I had to memorize the verse, and then I had to recite the verse. I believe that early exposure to that zenith of English has helped me in being able to read well and to communicate well. We don't really have that today, especially in the last 10 years or so, how social media has really taken up most of the oxygen. I know that I encourage my kids to read their Bible. I do it 3 times a week with my kids, where we sit down, read the Word of God, and even if it's a hard word, I'll sound it out. I say, hey, can you sound it out? And we'll talk about the definition of that word. And so I really think that Dr. Akash here has some interesting insights here that I think are worthy to look at. Check it out. It's on the Signal website. And just look at it under the social media site there. It's the letters to the editor, I think it is. And hopefully it'll be a big blessing to you and might give you some tools to help kind of address the issue with your kids as well. When we get back here on Politics in the Pulpit, we'll give you a rundown of the next few weeks and some of the guests that are coming on, some exciting guests. And I hope that you'll catch us back here on your hometown station, 98.1 FM and AM 1220. Catch in just a few minutes. All right, we're back live here on Politics in the Pulpit. This is our last segment before we bow out. But I wanted to just quickly jostle your memory bank to a couple weeks ago when we had Alexander Haberbusch from Lex Rex Institute. And we were talking about the documents, the classified documents that were found in Biden's garage and at the Penn Biden office, and then, of course, the Vice President Mike Pence's residence, and now there was a search of that just a couple days ago. But one of the things that I'd mentioned to Alexander Haberbusch was because now you've got Biden under investigation, you have, of course, former President Trump under investigation for the classified documents, and now, obviously, Vice President Mike Pence, that it's now going to just basically null and void. No one's going to be charged with anything in particular. But just to show you just how vicious and how political the Department of Justice has become, in particular towards former President Trump, the Department of Justice is now trying to get Trump's attorney to break his attorney-client privilege and testify against him. They argue in favor of an exception that would compel Evan Corcoran, Trump's attorney, to testify. And if you want all the skinny on this information, I'd encourage you to go to the Right Scoop and just read the breaking news from, actually it's from yesterday, Valentine's Day. I hope you all had a wonderful Valentine's Day, wherever you might have spent it. But it's from yesterday's Right Scoop. Biden's Department of Justice wants Trump's attorney to break client privilege and testify against him. This is how politicized and how political this has become against former President Trump. And again, say what you will about former President Trump. He's rough around the edges. I totally get it. Some of you can't handle it. But what I'm trying to communicate here is the kind of precedent that this is going to set going forward. That all you have to do is just not like somebody, and you're going to do whatever you can. And if you're President of the United States, you have got the powers, some incredible powers underneath you that you can manipulate and use to go after people that you do not like. So just something to think about going forward, depending. And again, I would feel the same way if this were a Democrat or a Republican, if you will, in the White House going after a former Democratic president. I think we should lay off that kind of stuff, but unfortunately, this is establishing a very nasty precedent. On the show here, for the next few weeks, we're going to have some exciting guests coming in. Our former state assemblywoman, Suzette Valadares Martinez will be our guest, I think, in about 3 weeks or so. I think March, let's see here if I can catch my calendar here. March 15th, we'll have former State Assemblywoman Suzette Martinez Valadares She'll be in studio talking a little bit about her testimony and her testimony in Christ, as well as any plans that the Lord might have her in terms of politics in the future. For those of you that live here in Santa Clarita, Pastor David Haig of Grace Baptist Church, of right off of Copper Hill, has agreed to come in, and that might be as early as the 1st of March or maybe the 8th of March. So either the 1st or the 8th, just keep looking on Facebook. And also, many of you know Dr. Robert Malone. He is the doctor that has really sounded the alarms on the vaccines and things of that nature. You've probably heard him on Fox News. He was recently interviewed by Dan Bongino just a few days ago on the Bongino show. But Dr. Robert Malone will be coming on and talking about some of the Pfizer vaccines and some of the problems that have occurred with some people who have taken some of these vaccines. And again, I'm not here to tell you don't take the vaccine. You do what you feel you need to do. But I think it's also important to be able to see both sides of this coin here, the pros and cons. I know some people that have taken the vaccines that are totally fine. And I know some people that are not totally fine. So I just think it's important to be able to see both sides here and be able to have both sides of this argument. Also, sometime in March or maybe early April, many of you here in Santa Clarita know who Jeffrey Malik is. He is a progressive leftist who ran unsuccessfully in the 2022 campaign for city council. He is a dedicated leftist. He believes what he believes, and he will stand up for what he believes, even though I totally disagree with what he believes, but I'll fight for his right to be able to say what he wants to say. He has agreed to come on again sometime in March or maybe early April, and we're going to have an in-studio debate about all things Christian, why Christianity is bad, why America wasn't founded on Christian principles, separation of church and state, good, bad, pros, cons. We'll deal with all that. And I think you'll find that very interesting. We'll do our best to be as fair as we can because we want to make sure that both sides are heard on those particular issues. If you are interested in attending the Freedom's Way Baptist Church, we'd encourage you to just check out freedomswaybaptistchurch.com. That's Freedoms with an S. We'd love to have you visit during any one of our services. We have a service on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. We're going through the Book of James, and then Sundays at 10:30, which is the main worship. We have a Sunday school for all ages at 9:15, and then, of course, an evening worship at 5 p.m. If your church that you attend doesn't have an evening service, hey, Freedom's Way has an evening service on Sundays. Encourage you to come out. Also, if you are interested in a school that will educate and not indoctrinate your kids, please give Lighthouse Christian Academy and School a call. You can find them also on our website, freedomswaybaptistchurch.com, and just look up on the bar there, and you'll find Lighthouse Christian Academy and get a hold of Christine, our school administrator. And we are already taking spots for the fall of 2023. So encourage you folks out there that are for pre-K, kindergarten, first and second grade. And as the Lord leads, we might actually go into a third grade as well, but we need some more students to be able to do that. So again, thank you very much for tuning in today to Politics in the Pulpit. Excited about what the Lord has planned for us here in terms of guests over the next several weeks. And we hope that today's information was helpful to you. Please get out there, study it for yourself. Remember the biblical injunction of the Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, prove all things, hold fast that which is true. Don't just take my word for it, go study it yourself and make sure it's so. You're listening to Politics in the Pulpit here with your holy host, Pastor Jerry Cook, on KHTS, your hometown station, AM 1220 and 98.1 FM. We'll catch you next week.